Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Have Energy helps you get through your day with zero sugar, four calories, and convenient portable size. It's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hardworking people that are trapped at home with their 10-year-old. Available in two great extra-strength tropical tastes, strawberry banana and tropical burst, they are delicious and can take you on a tropical get-stuff-done experience. Go online to 5hourenergy.com to learn more.
If you woke up one morning and found that your roof was leaking, who would you call? An optometrist?
Okay, now, which way does the leak look clearer? Here or here?
It's still leaking.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes in your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It all starts with a conversation. Call Entercom now at 384-5900 and ask for Rachel. That's 384-5900.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We sat together in period one, Fridays at 8:15. Now I see your face in the strangest places, movies and magazines. I saw you talking to Christopher Walken on my TV screen. But I will wait for you as long as I need to. And if you ever get back to
all right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Herrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Hackensack from the New Jersey pop band Fountains of Wayne, from their 2003 album, Welcome Interstate Managers. The songwriter there, Adam Schlesinger, died yesterday of COVID-19.
Yeah, that's I saw that one. He is he's written he was a very active songwriter in all kinds of things. Like, he wrote the That Thing You Do, that Tom Hanks movie. He wrote that, and then he was in he had a song
Stacey's
called
Mom.
Stacey's Mom Has Got It Going On. He did that song.
He was nominated for a Grammy, an Oscar, an Emmy, I think, and a Tony, I believe.
Yeah.
He's written for TV, for Broadway. Yep.
52 years old, I believe, is what he was. So another hell of a blow. Okay. You have math problem. We got a math problem. We have to do Jeffrey's math problem. We're trying to, as we go through this whole crisis in our country, health and economic crisis both, we are trying to educate the people. And Chris is teaching math at home. And so Jeffrey is showing off his math skills, and we're trying to sharpen up all of y'all's math skills. Chris, what do we have today?
All right. Get your pencil ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready, sir.
All right. Paige has a rectangular piece of art paper. The perimeter of her sheet of paper is 36 inches. One side is 10 inches long. She wants to cover the paper with stickers. It takes 4 stickers to cover each square inch of paper. How many stickers does she need?
Okay, hold on. Paige has a piece of paper that's 36 yep. inches in what?
Perimeter.
In perimeter. The perimeter is 36 inches. The piece of paper is 10 inches long.
Yep.
She wants to cover it in stickers.
Yes.
And what about the stickers?
It takes 4 stickers for every square inch.
4 stickers for every square inch. How many stickers will she need? Jeffrey, have you already? Jeffrey is looking up as if he has already maybe done this problem.
320 stickers.
Correct.
Okay, how do you do that? What's the? Chris, how do you do it?
Well, it's a rectangular piece of paper.
What?
So if one side is 10 inches long, that means the other side is 10 inches long. So that's 20 inches. The perimeter is 36. So 36 minus 20 is 16. So that means the top and the bottom are 8 inches each. So it's an 8 by 10 piece of paper, which means it is 80 square inches in area, and it takes 4 stickers for every square inch. And so that's 320 stickers.
Jeffrey, is that how you did this?
Yeah.
I didn't follow the second part. What was it? You said one is 10 inches long, and so the other one is 10 inches long? Is that what you said?
So it's a rectangle.
Well, it's a piece of paper. Like, the sides are equal, and then the sides are equal on the top and bottom.
If you have one side, you know what the opposite side is, and then you double that, and then if you know what the perimeter is, you subtract that.
What this drives home to me, in my own defense, is
you really cheated in math?
Sue German helped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are different kinds of intelligence. When people ask if someone is smart or dumb, there are different kinds of intelligence. I can't change a tire, and I can't do math. I can read. I'm totally disabled by this. I could not do this. I suppose I could have done it once, but I could not. I cannot do it. All right. So you have written actually a piece, Chris, about teaching at home. And I do want to get to the social implications that you talk later on in the piece. But what has the experience been like? We've been doing it for how long now? A week and a half?
I don't know. Time has lost all meaning.
It has. Exactly right.
It's been longer than that. I don't know how long it's been. A couple weeks at least.
All right. What have you learned?
I learned that I think I would have made a good, like, stay-at-home dad if I didn't have to work. And so, I'm pretty domestic, honestly. Like, I actually like teaching and working with him on his school stuff. Like, I like cooking and, shopping. And, I can handle all of it. It is the trying to balance that and not – because I'm not just at home. I'm still trying to work, right? Like, you are, like, you know – And so it's the balance of the two that is tiring me out. And that is the struggle such that it is, which is a comparatively minor struggle these days. But it's the toggling, the quote unquote multitasking that has been the problem. I actually quite enjoy having more time with my kids and doing stuff in the house.
In terms of the teaching itself, this is the most obviously hands-on teaching you've done of your kids. I mean, I'm sure you read to your kids and everything else all along and helped them with homework.
Sure.
But do you mostly, are you sitting there the whole time or do you assign them something they work on? What have you learned about teaching?
We do a morning quote unquote session. Like, he's not doing this all day. We do like a morning quote unquote session and an afternoon session. And typically I'm supervising the mornings and his mother does the afternoon. Although if she has conference calls, I'll do that too. And so basically, like, we sit across from each other at the dining room table, and I guide him through, okay, now you're doing this, and he'll work on it, and I work on whatever I'm working on, and then I help him if he needs help, or I check his work if he finishes it. And so some of it is like, you know, he's doing on, you know, they have all these computer programs now, or these websites that they do it online. I have printed stuff, some stuff they sent out that's been PDFs, like old cheap stuff, and I printed that out because I prefer having paper. And so with that stuff, I'll work with him directly a little bit more. But it's mostly just sort of I'm keeping his schedule, and I'm sort of – as he finishes one thing, I tell him what to do next, and then I work with him when he needs help, and that's sort of how it goes.
And your daughter does her own work.
Yeah, she doesn't like – she gets mad when you try to help her, and sometimes I have to force the issue. Not that much lately. Like when she was in like – honestly, when she was even – when. She was more willful about it even when she was his age, but there were a couple times where I had to intervene on math in particular because she was struggling and she needed help, but she didn't want help, and we sort of butted heads over that because she gets angry when you try to help her. So we leave her to her own devices as long as, you know, the grades are good and things are going well.
Again, I want to talk about the wide divide in our society in a moment on this, because I think that's the I was running yesterday, and I'm literally thinking about that's what I was thinking about as I was running, is that whatever problems my kids have pale in comparison to what's happening to part of our society that's already has struggles much before this. But it's interesting in terms of this stuff. Ann Conrad wrote a piece for the Daily Memphian, which has been widely read, a letter from the parents about how we should about teachers should be cognizant of the fact that the stress that is on kids right now and should be aware of that. And it was interesting. I just did a goofy little piece for about Christian Brothers and how they are trying to replicate their lunch hour on Zoom, and in the process of doing it, I talked to two students about, and I sort of just asked them about what learning is like this way, in addition to the lunch part, and it was really fascinating because one of them said, "Well, it's much harder," and one of them said, "Well, it's much easier," and I don't think it's that they take different classes. I think it's that it requires a different skill set. My son Peter, who's a very good student, is headed to Duke, et cetera, I get more not turned in notifications from Lausanne than I've ever gotten in my life for Peter, because he just doesn't operate well. You know, he likes – there's a moment when you turn stuff in when you're in school. There's a moment you see your teacher and you think – oh, social studies. Like, this requires a different level of organization. The teaching's different. A lot of things are very different here. And I do think it's important for people to recognize that as they're dealing with their own kids, that this is not easy. This is not easy for their own kids. How are your kids just sort of dealing with it?
Shelby County Schools is not giving grades. So for the most part, and my kid goes to campus, which is, right. You know, you could argue is quasi-public, but it is a public school. He's mostly not turning stuff in. Like these math problems, yeah. I've been giving you, that is work that he's been given, like, you know, that he's turning it in to me, and I'm grading it, and I'm talking to him about what he got right, what he got wrong, but he's not turning that in. And so my sort of problem with that one piece you sort of alluded to, and your piece was, you know, in the same vein, but you sort of got, you talked about what school you were talking about, and so it was, you know, it was up front what it was, but that other piece, like, it was about a private
specific
school
private school, right?
But it didn't say it was about a private school experience. It just sort of assumed that this is the way the school experience is, and my point is that there is no school experience in Memphis. It depends on where your kids go to school. But even beyond that, it depends on, like, you know, what their family situation is. Like, it depends on the kids themselves and their parents and their homes and who their specific teachers are, maybe even within the schools.
That gets to the most important point, which is that your kids are not – they already were ahead, and they're not suffering some great deficit. They're still learning
–
At probably the pace that they would have been learning, just in a different circumstance. They have you as a teacher. You're highly educated and you're capable of teaching, et cetera. So many kids who already were behind or didn't have the advantages, now have our home without the structure of school and don't necessarily, maybe they have single parents, maybe they have parents who aren't, who are just.
And one of the points I was sort of making in passing is I don't think this, like, we're all home, we're all going through the same thing, to me doesn't level, doesn't have any leveling effect on what's already in inequalities in the system. To me, it accelerates inequalities in the system, right?
Yep.
Whatever the distinctions are between the educational experiences kids are having across the city, depending on their different schools, their different homes, their different whatever, to me, those differences are only being exacerbated and accelerated right now. They're not coming closer together, is my sense.
Well, I was, when I was on my run and I was thinking about this, I literally was just thinking about how you're not honestly, I was thinking about the Carpenter Art Garden is what I was thinking about. Because the Carpenter Art Garden is this, place in Binghamton where it's after school. It started as a place where kids could do art. It, really a refuge. And then they ended up doing tutoring and they do just incredible stuff with kids who don't necessarily grow up in the most secure home environment. And if you can't have 10 kids in a place, 10 people in a place, if you can't have gatherings, right, the place where a lot of kids in this city of ours got their meals, their education, their structure, their tutoring, their mentoring, their, not exclusively, but a lot, was at places, whatever, like Memphis Athletic Ministries or the Carpenter Art Garden or the Boys and Girls Club or the school itself. And if those schools aren't supplying that, it's absolutely devastating for a lot of kids who are in that situation.
I mean one of the things I said was that it's sort of a myth that like school that education that has a leveling effect, but it has at least some small degree of a leveling effect relative to no school,
right?
Certainly more of a leveling effect. And so, you know, I mean, when all this first happened, The first big thing with Shelby County Schools was how are these kids getting fed, right? Like that's not what Christian Brothers was worried about. I mean, that's not what. The public schools my kids go to, that's not what we were worried about. But for the school system as a whole, the public school system, that was like the first thing, right?
Right. It's just it's the basic, literally, how do they get fed? Much less than how do they not fall behind in reading or further behind in reading or fall behind in math or whatever else. A lot of these kids aren't doing, they're not doing Zoom, you know? So it is absolutely devastating, again, for huge. And it's why when we talk about whether the NBA is coming back or when the NFL is coming back, it's much more critical when the most important institution in this city is when Shelby County Schools comes back. That's the most important institution in the city and what that looks like. So I think it's important. It's important to say that. And I don't know there's any, I don't know. I have no idea what it's going to look like. Mark Cuban did walk back sort of the, where are you? Are we going to have NBA playoffs? Do you care?
You know, I talked to somebody with the Grizzlies yesterday, and they were sort of, you know, on background or whatever. They were sort of hopeful that something would get figured out. I think the sense is that there's just so much at stake that they will, which doesn't guarantee that it happens, but they will exhaust every possibility, to put a cap on the season some way. I think even if that means, you know, that impacts what happens with the following season, I don't think they want to have, like, there's no NBA champion of whatever year. So they may not have a choice ultimately. But I think they will, my sense is that they will exhaust every possibility sort of as long as they reasonably can to try to find a way to, you know, to put a cap on it.
Yeah, we're just not there yet. You know, we're just not. We're right. Entering the worst part of this, it feels like.
It still feels like the kind of thing the league can be trying to plan for. We just don't need to worry about it. Like get back to us in May or June.
See where we are. Yeah. Speaking of which, I didn't want you to come on without mentioning the remarkable comments from the governor of Georgia. Your thoughts? Can you review to people what the governor of Georgia said?
Yeah, I was about to tweet about that, and then my buddy John Hollinger did it for me, who lives in Atlanta, so he's a little bit more Hey, this guy came out. He's a governor. He's not only just a governor. He's a governor of Georgia, which, A, is a major state. Like, Atlanta is one of the major cities in the country. Georgia is one of the, you know, it's not California and New York, but it's more one of the more populated states. It also happens to be where the Centers for Disease Control is located. And this guy comes out, stands in front of a podium and says, we didn't know until 24 hours ago that asymptomatic people can spread the disease. That is the most outrageous. I just can't even fathom. Hey, I think he's lying. I think he's willing to sound stupid rather than sound like he was ignoring medical advice. But the idea that he would claim that that is something we learned in the last 24 hours, and that's something we've been talking about for weeks at a minimum, is just insane to me.
It's staggering. He announced it like it was a breaking news. He said, ladies and gentlemen, this is sort of a game changer. This is a game changer. We have just discovered that you can spread this when you're asymptomatic. We've been talking about it on this radio show for weeks now. It's just the level of...
It's infuriating.
It is infuriating. And then you have states that still don't do stay in place. You have the governor of...
Well, including a state in our metro area.
Right. And then you have the governor of Florida saying that you can still gather for... That churches are exempt from the gatherings because they're an essential service. And so go ahead and have your Palm Sunday celebrations. I mean, we're just trying to kill off people.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, people, I think have mostly stopped making these cracks. But people would say stuff like, you know, that as if it didn't impact everyone.
Right.
Like it's, you know, you're trying to get these people going to the church killed. Or,
right. Yeah. That's a great way to get yourself closer to God.
Care.
Right. Yeah. It's that it's not just that it moves those people one step closer to heaven. And if they want to do that, that's up to them. It's that it literally they're going to go to the grocery store and infect people who are not at that church service
right.
or whatever else. Yeah, it's infuriating. All right, Chris, we appreciate it. Thanks very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. There are people who've been great during all this, and one of those people is Howie over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And when we're done, you're going to want to get someone beautiful stuff. Birthdays, anniversaries, heck, holidays, Christmas, all this stuff is still coming. People are still going to be getting engaged. And you can right now go over to rijewelers.com. It's fairly extraordinary. And get a $1,000 gift card for $700. Get a $100 gift card for $70. You might as well take advantage of, this is hard for everybody, you might as well take advantage of the opportunities that there are in these circumstances. And that is one. There are a lot of jewelry stores in this city. There's not a lot of stepped up the way that Howie has. He was just a couple weeks ago giving away pearl earrings to people who would shop at local establishments. We had a grocery store manager who called here, and she's using napkins. Her kids are used, teenage boys are using napkins for toilet paper because she wants to leave the toilet paper for her customer. And Howie said, we're going to get her a pair of pearl earrings. I knew he was a great Memphian before this, but it's been fun to watch. And you can go shop online at rijewelers.com. You can shop with their Facebook page. They have auctions there, etc. But to me, the gift card is an easy way to go here. You get a beautiful piece of jewelry and give it to your special someone this weekend, tomorrow. That would be wonderful. You can shop online, etc. You can chat. They have chat features and all that. But an easy way to do this is to just, while they're doing this, is go get a gift card for $100 for $100 gift card for $70 or $1,000 gift card for $700. We'll be joined when we come back by Andy Dolich. He's the former president of business operations for the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll reflect a little bit on what it was like back in the day when he brought the Grizzlies to town, but also what league executives must be thinking now. We'll talk to Andy when we return. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Coach Ryan Zorfel from the Memphis Tigers. Like you, I'm distancing myself and doing my part with the Tigers to help flatten the curve with this coronavirus. Staying in, working at home, and practicing social distancing. As soon as we get word, we'll be back out on the field, training, recruiting, and getting our students back at the University of Memphis. Do your part, Memphis, and thanks for supporting the Tigers. Please find more information online.
92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
I'm looking right now at the takeout menu at Bounty on Broad. There's the fried Gulf oysters I love so much, one of my favorite dishes in the entire city. There's the jumbo pan-seared scallops, just impossibly good. There's the pan-roasted quail. There's the braised pork shank. There's the Moroccan spiced lamb ribs. There's, oh my heavens, thank goodness for this. There's the crisp Brussels that everyone loves. That's just a few of the items on the takeout menu. Check it out for yourself at bountyonbroad.com. And don't forget the key lime pie for dessert, which is simply the best key lime pie I've ever had. Listen, this is a really hard time for everyone, including your favorite restaurants. Bounty on Broad has been a fixture in this city from the moment it opened, serving delicious meals and supporting Memphians who need support. And the good news is, in this time of crisis, Bounty is still there, serving delicious meals for a curbside pickup or delivery. So check out the online menu at Bounty on Broad. Wash your hands, be kind to one another, and we'll hope to see you back in the restaurant before too long.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Choate's has been serving the Mid-South for over 60 years, and we want to say thank you to our customers. Without your referrals and repeated business, we would not be in business as long as we have been. We promise to continue to run our company with dignity and quality service that we have for all these years. Those who do not use us, we invite you to take advantage of our $60 spring AC tune-up, which includes washing out the dirt in your condenser coils, checking your refrigerant pressures, checking your electrical components, and replacing customer-provided filters. Keeping your AC system maintained can reduce your heating and cooling utility bills by as much as 30% and also help reduce unwanted breakdowns by as much as 80%. Just like maintaining your vehicle, your HVAC system needs to be serviced routinely to work at its best. Call Choate's today at 347-8086 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule your $60 AC tune-up. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
She used to play hide and seek in your backyard. Now she's getting married in it. So when you see a bare spot, you need something that patches it fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington has been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
Silver card show.
Cut! The Capital One Quicksilver card is simple. No need for a whole song and dance. Don't be sad. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. That's the spirit. The Capital One Quicksilver card is simple, unlimited 1.5% cash back. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. What a pleasure it is to bring back my friend Andy Dolt, former president of business operations for the Memphis Grizzlies. He now lives out there in California. On Twitter, by the way, at Koofish. K-O-U.
Kofish. Kofish. Sandy Koufax.
Oh, Koufax. Koufax.
Sandy Koufax.
I'm sorry.
And fishing.
Yeah.
Koufax fishing.
Koufax
yeah.
Fishing.
Okay.
Yeah. K-O-U-F-I-S-H. Andy, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. I guess the last time we met was over coffee down there in Memphis when I was back in town a few months ago. Hello to all my friends in Memphis. Hopefully you're staying safe and sane.
By the way, why Sandy Koufax? Tell me why Sandy Koufax?
My sports hero, my number one sports hero, probably other than Shane Battier. He just was the coolest guy, a great basketball player, went to the University of Cincinnati on a basketball scholarship, which most people would go, hey, who's Sandy Koufax? His wind up, his pitch, his coolness, he was hip before there was hip. And when he walked away his final season, I think he was something like 26-4 and said, bye, I'm leaving.
At 26-4,
yeah. So the Dodgers were my team growing up. First sporting event I ever went to, I was a five-year-old, taken by my dad and two older brothers to Ebbets Field. So I kept that quiet until I went to work for the Oakland A's.
That's fantastic. Ebbets Field was the first sporting event you ever went to.
Exactly, and I remember it in that, you know, we came out of the subway, and, you know, I was a five-year-old. What did I know about anything? And it was like the two things that were in my head were, where did all that grass come from? And number two, what are all these people doing here? What's that about? And that has stayed etched in my memory since I came into the world in the year that Jackie Robinson became a Major League Baseball player in 1937.
Were you devastated when the Dodgers moved from Brooklyn to L.A.? Where were you?
No, because I was like, let's see, what was that, 56, 58?
57. I think so.
Yes, no, I was a 10-year-old clown. What did I know about moving? Although what I do remember is how lucky we were, how did we know it, that the arguments about baseball where I lived in Long Island were about the Giants, New York Giants, Dodgers, Brooklyn, Yankees, New York. We had three teams.
That's incredible.
And so everybody had their favorites. And it was the greatest argument. And we actually had baseball cards that weren't put in plastic dividers at those times or sold on eBay. Our baseball cards were flipped or put in our bicycles to make funny noises with clothespins.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk to you in a little bit about some of the early days of the Grizzlies just for fun. But before I do that... did you ever imagine we would see a world without sports? And how are you coping? Obviously, we have bigger fish to fry than just the sports. The death toll continues to mount, and the cases continue to mount. But it is eerie for someone, I'm sure, who has made your life in sports to have no sports.
I have become, since I've left the world of getting paid to work for a billionaire, I have started to write, and I wrote a piece a while ago about, you know, what could take sports away from us. And I looked at the 16 reasons when I was looking at this article a week ago, and I didn't have pandemic as one of the 16 reasons. Natural disaster, infrastructure breakdown, terrorism, et cetera, that we've all gone through,
right,
and that we've seen labor interruption. But to the current circumstance, I don't believe anyone, at least in the world of sports, had a pandemic playbook, and we could see it literally happening every day. What do we do next? What, you know, when is the answer on everybody's mind? Unanswerable right now, unfortunately. And in the world of sports, and pretty much in the world of the world, how do we come out of this to get back to what we determine in our own lives? What is a normal daily life?
Yeah, we had a doctor on yesterday talking about what that might look like. And it's not going to simply be saying, okay, we're back. It's going to look different on the other side. And it's going to look more different than when we emerged from 9/11 after that. It looked different when you went through the airport security line. But this is going to be in every element of your life in a very different way, don't you imagine?
The way that I look at it is, as horrific as 9/11 was, and we experience that as an organization and talk about it all the time, in Memphis, we were in temporary quarters at that time working. We'll get to that later. And I went through the earthquake, the 1989 earthquake between the A's and the Giants. We've seen recently, you know, the horrific tornadoes in Nashville. We've seen Katrina at the Superdome, and many, many other circumstances. But this is a global entity. The other ones, as I look at it, were local traumas. I mean, 9/11 was global, but it still happened in New York and Washington, D.C., and a field in Pennsylvania. This is everywhere, and this is everyone. And, you know, when the Olympics were canceled after the Rudy Gobert day, I think that really hit people. And now I saw that Wimbledon and the British Open, you know, were canceled. And we can talk about the NFL as part of this, too, if we choose.
Well, so I want to talk both from the league perspective and then from the club perspective. But from the league perspective, let's take the NBA and the NFL. Different challenges, because the NBA probably still wants to salvage something this year. If you were in the league offices, or what do you think they are thinking about?
What I believe is missing is there's no United Nations of sports. There's not a General Assembly. And I think it is something that is getting viewed a lot. Are we together here? Are we unified? And so the individual sports, and this has only been with us a short time, made their own decisions. I think Adam Silver clearly is a leader that others listen to and follow. When he made his decision right after Rudy Gobert tested positive and said, we're not playing games at all, not just players and no fans. So I believe there literally should be a meeting with all of these decision makers, along with government and medical officials. And they should make those decisions as a unit. I know that sounds crazy and impossible, but when you look at what people have done individually around the world, not just in this country, that's happened. And all I'd say about the NFL and their view now is, well, let's try to bring normalcy back. Yeah, the draft, that's going to be normal. Are you kidding me? And when and if there's a season, you're telling me, as a father of, you know, three kids living in Minnesota or in Las Vegas to see the Raiders play in their first game, you want me to come into a 90,000 or 60,000 seat Petri dish? I don't think so. Because these circumstances that we're living through now, if you listen to the medical professionals, it's not just going away where a giant green light comes out and says, okay, go back to doing what you've done.
It's I can't imagine it with fans. I simply can't imagine it for the reasons you describe. A 90,000 collection of 90,000 people, it just makes, or 80,000 or 70,000 or 60,000 makes no sense. Can you the NFL is really its own self, man. It is, we're just going to do everything, nothing to see here. We're plowing ahead,
right?
Whether it's the draft. And now they're saying that about the season. And let's be honest, people would like to see NFL football. They, you know, people would like to see NFL football. Can you imagine a scenario where, I mean, the NFL does have an ability to say, the heck with it, we're going to do it. Can you imagine a scenario where they play without fans, for example?
Well, I think the number, Jeff, that the NFL has under confirmed media contracts through 2023 is $53 billion, not $100 million or million, $53
wow.
billion. You can check it out. I might be off by $5 or $6 billion. I apologize.
All right.
But that being the case, until the networks and the digital deliverers say no, it's going to be much less. Can I imagine it? Yes, I can imagine it, but I am one that has lived my whole life for the benefit of the fans and the dynamic of any sport, whether it's, you know, 80,000 people in the Superdome or 800 people at a high school football game. It's the fans. That's what makes this business so incredibly special to me. And if you extract them, no matter what the technology might be, then it's not the same. I can't say you couldn't do it, but I think it gets really old very quickly, and then we get to the point, you know, are we moving to video games? Are we moving to avatars? And, you know, hopefully we will have a situation where we can get gradually back to our lives. But I can't see a circumstance in the fall where there's any type of normalcy.
Right. And I even think that the physician we had on yesterday, who was at Le Bonheur and his infectious disease guy, he said you would have to you can't put all NFL players in a bubble. So even if you did it with no fans, you might be able to put NBA players in a bubble for a playoff for a limited period of time. But you can't do a whole season in a bubble. And the problem would be these NFL players would go home and then their grandmother would end up in a coma because we're playing football. And is that something that you are willing to accept as a society? And
well, yeah, I don't know how to say this, but professional athletes have been known from time to time to exchange bodily fluids. And I would say that it's life. And again, going back to Rudy Gobert, Sean Payton, every major sport has an athlete, an administrator, and others that unfortunately has been hit by COVID. And because sports is face-to-face, it's sweating, it's smashing, it's grappling, it's tackling. I mean, the NFL of any sport, right, does not have social distancing. It has in your face and knock you down. So I think that becomes very difficult. And you also want to be an example. I mean, out here, the Warriors have done a spectacular job. They have a player like Steph Curry. You know, hi, I'm Steph Curry. My guest today is Dr. Anthony Fauci. You know, where else are you going to get that? And so without making light of it, I think we have to use our brains, which most people are doing. But sports has always been that warm blanket, that ability to bring us back from these circumstances after they've occurred. Now sports is right in the middle of it without the answers that everybody else doesn't have the answers to. That's what's so frustrating for everyone in the business, broadcasters, those that work on an hourly basis, people that have their jobs. It's an incredibly scary time.
All right. Just to have a little fun for a moment, you obviously were with the Grizzlies, president of business operations of the Grizzlies, when they moved to Memphis, and we're here for a very long time, a lot of fun. How do you characterize your the stretch of your career that you lived as you embedded the Grizzlies, as you used to say, into the DNA of the community?
Well, first it was to make sure that the man that made it happen, the late Mike Heisley, always had a good restaurant to go to. because, as you know, Mike, he was tough enough on a full stomach, but if he was hungry, that could make bleeping his interviews very hard. My number one takeaway, not having been a Memphian at that time, but being introduced to Memphis by the group of people whose names, you know, will go down in history, and the Cates and Gail Rose and Jim Rout and Dr. Harrington and so many others on the Pursuit Team. What was it called?
Pursuit Team, yep.
Yeah. And the work that they did on behalf of the community at sports, it's kind of mundane, but sports is all about teamwork. And what really has always made me smile was the level of teamwork between the Pursuit Team, the community at large, the university, Mike Heisley, the NBA, to make it happen. And then ultimately the building of FedEx Forum. You know, I tell young sports careerists, if you want to get in the business, that's great. But if you have an opportunity to work in the construction of a new venue, you know, that is sort of the holy grail, because that does become the DNA of the community. And you just think about all the public events, extract the Grizzlies and even the Tigers from all the other great events that have been there and what that's meant to the community. So where I go is the people individually that made it happen, and it was bottom up. It wasn't necessarily top down. And I happen to, my analogy is that's how we are ultimately going to kick the crap out of COVID. It's going to be bottom up, not top down.
It must, in terms of FedEx Forum, by the way, people at the time, I'm sure you didn't know you were getting into the brawl that you were getting into in terms of building FedEx Forum. And the history with the pyramid was a recent building and all of that. So it was not a wildly popular thing.
No, there were some that were mildly opposed to it. Could we say that?
The idea, though, that we got that for $250 million, where it is, as transformative as it's been, you look at, it's really, I mean, I hate to say it because I know it's public money and people will, but it was an unbelievable bargain.
Chase Arena here in San Francisco, the Warriors Pleasure Dome, $1.6 billion. That's $1.6 billion. The Golden One Center in Sacramento, and again, different time, different real estate, that was $750 million. The new football stadium in Englewood is going to come in at $5 billion. So if you look at it, and I think I'm very proud, as are many, many others, of people that sort of helped make FedEx Forum happen. What a great investment in the community. And I left out Arnold Pearl's name, how dare me, and George Lapidus, and on and on and on, of people that, you know, made it happen. There were some so incredibly opposed. I remember I had a meeting with Gail Rose, with the Reverend G.E. Patterson. And he brought sort of the wrath of the Almighty to the meeting about what a terrible, terrible circumstance it was that the NBA was coming to Memphis. And a year later, he bought four season tickets. That stayed with me too, but Gail is, you know, incredibly forceful and ultimately charming. But I remember the Reverend Patterson was not happy and was not shy about telling me as the team representative where we could go. I think he hardly missed a game after that.
It's been 20 years now. Next year will be 20, I think. And so, and you brought a bunch of people here, too. That was the other thing. You had a lot of really good people you brought, and some are still here. Who is still with the organization that was here when you all arrived?
Chantel Hassard works on the basketball operations staff, and John Pugliese, better known as Johnny Pugs and not from The Godfather, is still there. A few, I think, Jeff, the number of people that we brought from Vancouver was about 16, maybe more than that. And that was a nice explanation. Hi, you're going to leave Vancouver, British Columbia, and come to Memphis, Tennessee. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Memphis, Tennessee. And they looked at me like, yeah, and I was also on the moon lander. What are you talking about? But what these people did, so many of them, they became a part of the community. And what is so wonderful about Memphis is if you show the community that you want to be a part of it, no matter where you come from, you'll be accepted. If you go, excuse me, do you know where I'm from? You don't have much of a chance.
Well, one of my favorite stories, of course, is your wife, Ellen, who is...
He just waved at you, Jeff.
Thank you, Ellen. How are you? I appreciate it. Memphis is a place, and it's what I'm an interloper too, and I came here, but you can actually have an impact. And you obviously had an impact through the Grizzlies, but she had an impact through the downtown farmers market. Tell that story.
Well, I always show people the column that you wrote, which is one of my favorite columns that's in your book. Available on Amazon, Jeff?
Yeah, still available. You got time to read it now. Also, probably Burke's book, I mean, Burke's and Novel, they do curbside pickup. So
right.
Go ahead. Anyway.
Selling, yeah. I'll get to Ellen in a moment. But since we're selling my first book, The 20 Secrets to Success for NCAA athletes, student athletes who won't go pro, is also available on Amazon.
Yeah, we got that covered. Yeah.
So I came to Memphis. Ellen was here to make sure that our identical twin daughters, and you say 20 years ago, like, wow, got through high school here. And she came later, and she said, okay, what am I going to do? And she became friends with people like Cynthia Hamm and Lynn Turley and a number of other women. And, you know, they had a cocktail from time to time. And Ellen said, is there like a farmer's market here? And they looked at her like, again, she had suffered something. And they got together, at the old train station and said, let's do this. Ellen had not had we did not have our California plates changed on our car. So she and these other women were basically driving into Arkansas, Mississippi, other places in Tennessee, trying to convince farmers that they should come to downtown, Memphis, to sell their wares. And Ellen would come home at the end of the day, like, tell me about your day. Yeah, that guy, he was not really happy when he saw my California plates. And that guy was actually raised cattle. And beef, and he became one of the most ardent supporters. There was a family, a husband and wife, and they grew vegetables in Arkansas. They were part of it. And, you know, when I would come back to Memphis and just see the energy and sort of the community spirit of the farmers market, and Ellen has stayed in touch with all the people that work there. It was really another indelible example that people with ideas that, you know, don't take no for an answer can accomplish anything.
Well, we're going to need that now. Andy, thank you very much. It's wonderful to catch up. Appreciate it.
Jeff, as always, and to all my friends in Memphis, stay strong, be well. We'll talk.
All right. Thank you, Andy. We are going to take a break, and the Memphis Tiger basketball team seems to be zeroing in on their first edition. We'll mention him when we come back in the one story you've been waiting for. It's Jeff Calkins, show 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m., 92.9 FM ESPN.
Can I just tell you before I do this, by the way, how much I appreciate being able to do this show? And you folks listening, I like to think that, I mean, we're quote-unquote essential. I've never felt that this show is more a part of the community than I have these last couple weeks, both with the guests that we have and then when y'all call in.
92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey, guys. Good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100.
And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said,
all right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
Well, you can read about it in the Daily Memphian. Drew Hill has a story up. I have just tweeted it out. The leader in blocks in JUCO, JUCO leader in blocks, Ahmad Rand, has committed to Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tiger. He is a 6'9 forward from USC Salcahatchie. Do you think that works? Salcahatchie? You think that would be it?
Close enough.
Anyway, he is, as described by Drew Hill, again, you can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian, he is rail thin, lucky to weigh over 190 pounds on a good day. That's not great. But anyway, he is basically, he's a rebounder and a he is a rebounder and a shot blocker is what he is. And he is Precious Achiuwa, obviously, is going to leave, right? And so they're going to need bigs. And they, if they don't get Greg Brown, which they may not because he's awfully wired into Texas, they're certainly going to need bigs. So it feels to me like Ahmad Rand is a sort of security blanket if you don't get Greg Brown, and he is just part of the effort to add bigs. He averaged 9.8 points and 8.2 rebounds for one of the best junior college team in the country. He had 5 blocks a game. There were other schools that were interested: Oregon State, Georgia, St. John's, New Mexico, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. But not a particularly, like, this is not a Precious Achiuwa type commitment here. This is a guy, a piece.
Well, my first thought was that replaces the Isaiah Maurice role, the guy that adds depth to the front court, and, you know, gets you a little bit older.
Yes, a very different kind of player.
Right, but the same
Isaiah,
you know,
Maurice,
I mean, like,
in the end was, I say, skilled offensively.
I was like a 5 trapped in a point guard's body.
Yes, he wanted to be a wing, yeah. Right? He was atrocious defensively, and did not help particularly at the things that Ahmad Rand will be good at. Defense and rebounding are not the things that Isaiah Maurice was ostensibly good at. So there you go. But anyway, they have added a player. You can read about it at the Daily Memphian, dailymemphian.com. I've tweeted it out. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They're going to be joined by Mike Tannenbaum, the ESPN NFL front office insider, at 11:25. Steve Wiecke joins them at 12:25. Jeff Calkins will join them at 1:25 on the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show today. Jason Smith will join the program. Sam Hardiman of the Commercial Appeal will join us as well. Chris Mannix, who writes for Sports Illustrated, he'll be with GP at 4:25. He's got a story up about the viability of Las Vegas as a possibility for completing the NBA season. He'll join GP at 4:25. Jeff joins him at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back here tomorrow, I think. For now, our work here is done.
This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis and the Mid-South station you can count on. Live on the radio.com free app.
Hey Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We know these are tough times right now. Your heating, air, and plumbing are essential systems for your home. To help, we have discounted our HVAC systems to as low as $99 a month and tankless water heaters as low as $79 a month. Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We're here to help. 901-624-1401.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Hi, folks. Bob Berkheimer for Sunrise Buick GMC Truck. A lot has happened overnight and just wanted to let you know we're open at Sunrise for all your automotive needs. Service, body shop, parts, and sales. Go online to sunrisememphis.com to schedule an appointment. Should you need a vehicle, we're offering 0% up to 84 months with deferred payments up to 120 days. You can shop online. We'll bring the car or truck to you. At Sunrise, we know you want to feel safe, so bring your car or truck to any Sunrise location and we'll disinfect it at no charge. Sunrise, stress-free and safe. Covington Pike, Wolf Chase, and Collierville.
Hey everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
There will be parties again soon, and family gatherings. There'll be parades and sporting events and concerts to help our communities.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.